I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 11. Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 11. Paul writes, "I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Later, I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who tormented or formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me." As we come to God's word, let's go to him in prayer first, shall we? Lord, once again, we look to you to take the story of Paul's life and make it real for us and apply it to our lives and how we live and how we speak. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. False teachers called Judaizers had come to the churches in Galatia, were causing confusion and controversy in those churches. They taught that Christianity was part of Judaism, and as such, needed to include the Mosaic ceremonies, laws, and practices. Things like circumcision, eating kosher food. They accused Paul, as well as the other apostles, of diluting the truth by removing the strict requirements of Judaism. These Judaizers claimed that Paul did this so that Christianity would be more appealing to Gentiles as well as Jews. And in order to discredit Paul's message, these false teachers recognized that they had to discredit Paul and his supposed apostleship. They spread the idea that Paul was a self-appointed apostle with a self-appointed message. They said that his message and his ministry were not really from God. His motivation was to elevate himself, to create a following for himself. The disappointing thing that we've already seen earlier in Galatians is that many believers had been persuaded by these false teachers to question Paul's motives and to doubt his apostleship. Such questions, such doubts, were causing them to desert the faith and turn to, as Paul wrote earlier, turn to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. In today's scripture, Paul responded to this attempt at character assassination. In verses 11 and 12, when we first started reading, Paul stated his theme. His message, his ministry, were of divine origin. That is, they were from God. He did not invent the gospel. He didn't receive it from men. He received the gospel from Jesus Christ. Paul wrote about this to the Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning verse 1. Paul wrote here, "Now, brothers, I want you to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep, that is, they've died. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me, also as one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preached, and this is what you believed. Contrary to what the false teachers were saying, Paul's message, Paul's apostleship, weren't contrived by the apostles. They're divinely given. Paul wrote, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. To support his claim of having a God-given apostleship and a God-given message, Paul gave his personal testimony. He began with his life before Christ. Paul began his testimony by describing his previous way of life in Judaism. He described his standing, his activities, while he was an unconverted Jewish rabbi called Saul of Tarsus. His life before Christ was centered totally in the law and on tradition. Grace was unheard of. He was a hostile person who persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. Turn to Paul's speech to a mob that tried to kill him in the temple in Jerusalem. Turn to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. Begin with the first verse. Acts 22, verse 1. Paul writes, brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. And when the people heard that Paul spoke to them in Aramaic, their language, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in the city. Under Gamaliel, I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers and was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. As also the high priest and all the council can testify, I even obtained letters from them to their brothers in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. Before his conversion, Paul actually thought that Jesus was an impostor and his message of salvation was a lie. He was sure that God had spoken through Moses. And he was sure that he had not spoken through this Jesus of Nazareth. Filled with Jewish traditions, Saul of Tarsus became a zealous persecutor of the followers of the way. That is, those who followed Jesus Christ. Because remember, Jesus had said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Because of his passion, Paul had been on the way to become an influential leader of the Jewish faith. His personal life, his scholarship, his zeal in attacking these false religious faiths made this Jewish fanatic one of the most respected young rabbis of the day. There was nothing in the life of Saul of Tarsus, man we learned to call Paul, which even hinted of a gospel of salvation by God's grace working through faith. Looking back at his life before Jesus Christ, Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, if anyone thought he had reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Nothing in Paul's previous life would have led to the gospel of grace that he was now preaching. Following the death of Stephen in Acts chapter 8, you read, godly men buried Stephen and more deeply, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women
and put him in prison. The commentator John Stott wrote, "Now man in that mental and emotional state is in no mood to change his mind or even to have it changed for him by men. Only God could reach him, and God did." Paul's conversion had to be a spiritual miracle. For the Judaizers to deny Paul's apostleship in the gospel was the same as denying his conversion. The dramatic change from persecutor of the church to champion of the church was proof that Paul's message and ministry were from God. Paul preached the same message that he had believed and the truth that had changed him. Paul then explained his conversion. This was the critical turning point in Paul's life. Turn to this record of Paul's conversion. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. A story many of you probably know. Acts chapter 9, beginning verse 1. "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do.' The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, 'Ananias!' 'Yes, Lord,' he answered. The Lord told him, 'Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight.' Lord, Ananias answered, 'I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go. This man is to be my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.' Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength." Saul, soon be called Paul, had experienced the gospel of grace through faith. And any other so-called gospel was a perversion. Paul gave some characteristics of his conversion, and for that matter, every conversion. First, God called Paul. God called Paul. Back in Galatians, Paul wrote, "But when God called me to reveal his son," Paul's conversion wasn't the result of his searching for God. He thought he knew him already anyway. But God called Paul. Paul didn't initiate the choice to be saved, much less the choice to be an apostle. In 1 Corinthians 1:1, he wrote, "He was called an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God." At Paul's conversion, his values were reversed. Everything was turned upside down. Only God could do that. As Jonah 2:9 says, salvation comes from the Lord. First, God called Paul. Second, God did it by grace. Salvation is by God's grace, not man's efforts, not man's character. Paul wrote that God called me by his grace. In John 6:37, Jesus said, All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. The mystery of God's sovereign will and man's responsibility to obey aren't totally understood, but what is understood is what Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says. For by grace are you saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Beyond anyone's doubt, Paul's conversion, anyone's conversion, is through God's grace alone. And third, God did it through Christ. God did it through Christ. On that road to Damascus, Paul saw his own self-righteousness as rags compared to the righteousness of Christ. In Philippians 3, verse 7, he wrote, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." The Jewish religion was a religion of rituals and practices, outward things. But faith in Jesus Christ brought about an inward change. In Galatians 2:20, Paul will write, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." It was no longer about Paul. It was about Jesus Christ. Fourth, God did it for the sake of others. Paul wrote, "God called me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles." God chose Paul not only to save him, but also to use him to win others. As you read back in Acts chapter 9, God told Ananias, "This man is to be my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel." This was another proof of Paul's conversion, that it was of God. No prejudiced Jewish rabbi would ever decide by himself to minister to the despised Gentiles like Paul did. And finally, conversion brings glory to God. Conversion brings glory to God. As the fanatic who was persecuting Christians, Paul had all the glory of man that he could want. He wasn't doing it for God's glory, but for his own. Similarly, the Judaizers were interested in their own glory and their own following. But when one experiences God's grace, God's mercy, and God's love, values are changed. Back in Galatians 1:24, Paul wrote, "And they praised God because of me." Now the motivation of Paul and all Christians is to bring glory to God. Romans 11:36 says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever." Paul finished his testimony with what happened to him after his conversion. That is, life after Christ. The logical thing would have been for Paul to go back to Jerusalem, introduce himself to the church leaders, and be instructed by them. But God had other plans. Acts 9, verses 19 and 20 says, "After taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Spirit, the Son of God. But after these few days, instead of consulting with any man, he went immediately to Arabia." It was here that Paul was able to study and meditate and pray and meet with the Lord alone. He may have spent close to 3 years in Arabia. Think about it. The 12 apostles had spent 3 years of teaching and training with the Lord Jesus. And now Paul was able to have his own opportunity to be taught by the Lord. The gospel, the good news that Paul preached, wasn't something that he'd been taught by other apostles. It wasn't something that had been taught by Ananias or other Christians in Damascus. The gospel that Paul preached came from God. As 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." After those 3 years in Arabia, it was seen that now would be a time for Paul to go to Jerusalem and be with the leadership there. But God still had other plans. Paul went back to Damascus. And here he encountered persecution. The Jewish leaders who had looked to him as their champion against Christianity were now after his blood. It's probably then that the basket incident took place. This story you might not know. So turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11, begin verse 32. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of Damascus guarded in order to arrest me, that is Paul. But Paul says, I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through their hands. He went to Arabia, he went to Damascus, and then he visited Jerusalem. Finally, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. His main purpose was to visit Peter. Acts 9:26 adds, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was changed, that he really was a disciple. Paul's reputation has preceded him, and he had a difficult time getting into the church fellowship. If Paul's message and ministry had been from the apostles, this would not have been a problem. But since the apostles were suspicious of him, Paul stayed in Jerusalem only for 15 days. He saw only Peter and eventually James, the Lord's brother. For these reasons, Paul received neither his message nor his apostleship from the Jerusalem church. There wasn't time, there wasn't the opportunity. For that matter, he had already received them both from God himself. To give his readers the greatest possible confidence in what he was writing, Paul made a common Jewish vow. I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. Anyone at that time could check and see if what Paul wrote was true. And finally, he returned home. After Paul left Jerusalem, he went to Syria and Cilicia. He returned to Tarsus, a city of Cilicia. I suspect that as Paul made his way through Syria up to Tarsus of Cilicia, he most likely preached the word as he went. Acts 11 records that he remained in Tarsus for 7 years until Barnabas recruited him for a work in Antioch. Paul's testimony was proof that his apostleship, that his message were not from man or by man, but were from God. The gospel he taught was a revelation from Jesus Christ. We need to be careful what we do with this gospel. It isn't the invention of man. It's the very truth of God. As inspired words, Paul's letters to the churches are on the same level with the words of Jesus Christ. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all of his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Peter was emphasizing that Paul's words were the words of God, and thus they are scripture. There are people today who are modern Judaizers. They try to undermine the gospel which Paul preached. In Paul's day, their message was the gospel plus Moses. In our day, it's the gospel plus whatever religious leader or religious book or religious organization decrees. You cannot be saved unless, and that unless often includes joining their group, obeying their rules. Others try to undermine the authority of Paul as they try to eliminate parts of his teachings as being out of step with the times or not being politically correct or written by a mere man. If someone dares to mention the gospel of grace as preached by Jesus and Paul and the other apostles, they reply, but God has given us a new revelation. Paul has an answer for them. We read it back in Galatians 1 verse 9. If anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than that which you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. To reject Paul's teachings is to reject God's word. Neither the testimony of Paul himself nor the other apostles allows another conclusion. One must be careful how he handles the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth." Study the Bible. Bible Mirror is saying, just don't read it through and think, now I know it all. Follow the steps that it has inside of it. Learn. Apply it to your lives. And then don't so quickly desert the one who called you by the grace of Christ and turn to a different gospel. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you help us to understand, to accept that the words in this book are your words. You would use different authors, different set of vocabularies, depending on the person. But the words, the thoughts that they wrote down, are what you had them write down. They are your words. Lord, may we take time, not just to read the Bible, but to study it and then apply it to our lives and not be swayed by our culture, by others around us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.